Philippians chapter number 3, let's begin reading this morning from verse number 12. The Apostle Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." If you haven't done so already, I want to draw your attention to an expression that we find in verse 13. I hope that you'll notate it in your Bible, where Paul says, "This one thing I do." He says, "This one thing that I do." Now, last time we met together, we began a new series entitled "One Thing." And we've been talking about the one resolution that we all should make in the new year. And last time we met together, we talked about the foundation of doing this one thing. We talked about being apprehended by Christ. You'll notice what the Apostle Paul says earlier on in verse 12. He says that I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul is literally saying there that Christ has captured me and that my purpose in my life is that I may capture what God has for me. And we talked about the need for us as people to have been apprehended by God. And we talked about how God has a plan for our life and that our life should be given towards trying to accomplish that very plan. Well, this morning we move into what Paul is actually saying here, that this one thing that he did. He said, "This one thing I do." And there's actually three steps to the one thing that Paul did. The first thing that he did, he says that he forgot. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. The second thing that he says that he does is reach. He says, reaching for those things which are before. And the third thing, the third step to the one thing that he did is pressing. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So the three steps to the one thing that he did is forgetting, reaching, and pressing. So for the next few weeks, that's what we're going to be talking about. And primarily today, as I mentioned to you, we're going to be talking about what it means to forget. And dealing specifically this morning in this part one of forgetting, talking about the importance of forgetting and why it's so important. So important that Paul mentioned it first out of the three steps of what he's trying to accomplish. And to be quite honest with you this morning, out of all the messages that I'm going to preach in this series, this morning and next Sunday are probably the most important and the most significant. Because if we're not able to grab hold of this first principle, then we're not able to move on to accomplish the other things. If we're not able to forget, then we're not going to ever be able to reach and we're never going to be able to press. And so this morning it's essential that you and I spend some time together trying to understand what it means when Paul says that he forgot those things which are behind and just why that is so important for you and I. And so this morning let's pray about it and let's ask God to speak to us and guide us as we consider the importance of forgetting. If you are taking notes this morning, the first thing I want to talk about is that the past is problematic. You say, "Pastor, why is it so important that we forget?" And the reason number one is because the past is problematic. The first reason that we forget, and that forgetting that Paul mentions, he says that forgetting those things which are behind, is because that our past can truly poison our present. There are things that have happened in our past that can hinder us today in our lives. It may have happened 5 years ago, it may have happened 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, but it is still affecting our present. And so Paul says, listen, he says, in my service for God, the very first thing I do is I forget because the past is problematic. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, am I supposed to forget everything in my past?" No, everything in our past is not problematic. But I will say this, even good things, good or bad things, if you're going to live a life that's focused on the past, then that's problematic. And so many people do. So many people live their entire life and they live it not in the present. They don't ever look towards the future. All they can focus on is what has been. And that is very problematic, just for you as an individual, but as well as for you as a Christian, spiritually, to live in the past. Well, you say, "Well, Pastor, why is it so problematic?" Well, I want us to focus on that this morning. I want to give you several reasons why living in the past is problematic. The first one is this, because it is a spiritual desert. Number one, it is a spiritual desert. Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You say, why is that so important? Number one, because it's a spiritual desert. You see, God created you and I to live for today. He created us to live in the present. Time and time again, as we read God's word and we look at different truths and scriptures, God tells us that we're to live in the present. He warns us about living today focused on tomorrow or yesterday. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus says this. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And what Jesus is saying is this. He says, listen, he says, I've given you what you need for today. He said, don't spend today worrying about tomorrow. He says, because when you get to tomorrow, there'll be enough things to worry about then, because sufficient is the day for the evil thereof. He says, listen, you don't need to live your life focused too much on tomorrow, because it robs you of the blessings that I have for you today. And the reality is, the same warning that Jesus gives about living a life too focused on tomorrow holds true for living a life that's too focused on yesterday. The reality is this, God gives us grace measured out each day. David says, and even Jeremiah says, that his mercies are new every morning. What that simply means is this. God looks at our life and he says, okay, I know Scott is going to be going through this on this day. I know he's going to have to deal with this, 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 and this. He doesn't know it yet because he's still living in the present, but I know it because I'm omniscient, and I'm going to measure out grace. I'm going to give him exactly what he needs to get through everything he's got to deal with today. But he doesn't give me enough today to deal with the problems that I'm going to have to deal with tomorrow. And the reality is, he doesn't give me enough yesterday to deal with the problems that I've got today. So every bit of God's grace is given out every day, new and afresh, just like the manna in the wilderness, for us to deal with what we have today. So here's what that tells us. That tells us that when we live a life focused on what's behind us, we're living a life and we're focusing on things and issues and problems that we don't have the grace of God to deal with. Because God's already dealt with that. He's already given us enough grace for that. So when you live a life that's looking to the past, it's a spiritual desert. There is no way for you to change that. There's no hope when you look to the past. Everything that happened yesterday, everything that happened this morning, everything that happened 30 seconds ago is already etched in the past. There's nothing that you can do about it. There's no hope there. There's no way to change what happened. As much as we'd like to, there's no way to go back and change it. There's no grace to comfort us for what happened in the past. It is there, and God has moved on, and now he's giving us enough grace to deal with what we have to deal with today. And so you say, why is the past so problematic? Why does the past affect us so negatively? It affects us so negatively when we live there and we focus on that, because it's a spiritual desert. You look back at things that happened, and you look back at problems, and you say, I'm not comforted by those things. No, and you're never going to be comforted by those things looking in the past, because God gives us grace to deal with the problems that we have for today. The past is problematic because it's a spiritual desert. It's a dry place. God wants you to live for today. God wants you to focus on serving him today, and he'll give you the grace to deal with the things that you're dealing with today. The second reason the past is problematic is because our sight is distorted. Number two, our sight is distorted. When we look to the past, it's never exactly the way that we remember that it was. When I think about looking at the past, and I thought about trying to illustrate it, the best way that I can illustrate looking and living in the past is like looking in the rearview mirror of your car. How many of you rode in a car here this morning? Would you raise your hand? Very good. Very, very good. I did too, and I'm glad I did, because it was cold. And it would have been too cold for me to walk or to ride a bicycle or anything else. But when I rode in my car this morning, I had two or three different things that helped me and assist me. One, I had a windshield. When I look out the windshield, all I can see is what's in front of me. But I also have a rearview mirror. And when I look out that rearview mirror, I see what's behind me. I see the road that I've already covered. When I look out the windshield, all I can see is the road that I've still got to go. But when I look in that rearview mirror, or I look in those side rearview mirrors, all I can see is what's behind me. But you know something that's interesting about when I look in that rearview mirror or when I look in those side mirrors? When I look in those things, what I see is distorted. All I see is I'm not really seeing the road that's behind me. I'm seeing a reflection of the road that's behind me. When I look in that rearview mirror on the side or that side mirror and I look back, I'm not actually seeing what's there. I'm seeing a reflection of what's there. And when you and I look into the past, that's the same thing that we have. When we look into the past, we're not actually seeing what's there. We're seeing a distortion of what is there. Whether it was something that was great that happened to you or whether it was something that bad, it is our eyesight and our vision of it is obviously distorted. Subconsciously, without even trying to, our minds filter our past. Let me give you another illustration of that. Some of you played sports when you were growing up. I played basketball and also tried to play a few other things. We remember playing sports. The older we get, the better we were. And we think about the sports and we think back sometimes. We'll go to a high school game or we'll watch a game on TV and it reminds us in our mind. We go back and think, boy, wasn't that awesome. It's the best time of my life, man. We got to run out of the tunnel. Everybody was cheering for you. We got those jerseys and all. It was awesome. It was just great. And all we can think about is the good things. We think about the games and we think about the fame. But you know, none of us ever really remember those grueling practices. Man, we don't remember having to go to the weight room after school and going there with all those sweaty football players or wrestlers or everything else. And good Lord, it stunk in there and you didn't want to be there and you're tired already. You just want to go home. You didn't think about all those Saturday morning practices when all your buddies got to sleep in and you had to get up at 6:30 and be over at the gym. And then of all things, on a Saturday, coach wants you to run sprints and coach wants you to do that and you're sweating like a dog and you got people over here doing stuff in trash cans that I'm not even going to talk about in church, but that's how much we ran. You don't think about all that stuff. All you think about is the good times. And you know something is the same when something bad happens to us. Some of us have got some scars in our past. I mean, we've got some real, genuine battle scars. I mean, some times and some things where we were done wrong, we were treated wrong. I mean, we were brought lower in life than we ever dreamed we could be. And you know something? Our minds often get us to focus on how bad it was, how terrible it was, how mistreated we were, how wronged we were. But you know what we don't think about? We don't think about, and we don't remember oftentimes those out-of-nowhere text messages to encourage us. Or while we were going through that, somebody that came over and spent time with us and loved us and cared for us, somebody that dropped a card off for us, somebody that loved us. Why? Because our minds subconsciously filter out those things and we remember what we choose to remember about the past. So why is our past so problematic? It's so problematic because when we look at it, our vision of what we see in our mind's eye is distorted. It was never as good as we remember it being, and it was never as bad as we remember it being. And so you say, why is that dangerous? It's because when we live in the past, it's dangerous because we're looking at something that is not altogether accurate, an accurate account of what happened. So when we look to the past, literally in our mind's eye, we end up lying to ourselves about how things were. So we look at the past, it's problematic, number one, because it's a spiritual desert. But number two, because our sight is distorted. Let me give you a third reason that the past is problematic. Thirdly, our past is problematic because our soul is distracted. Our soul is distracted. Last time we met together, we talked about being apprehended for Christ. And we spent a lot of time talking about that the reason that God got a hold of Paul, and the same reason he gets a hold of us, is because he has a plan for our life. And that plan is specific. And that plan is significant. It's important. God has something for your life that he wants you to accomplish. But here's what happens. If we live our life focused in the past, then it distracts us from being able to focus on what God has for us to do today or what God has for us to do in the future. People who live in the past very, very seldom have any dreams of being anything more than what they are. Because they live completely focused on what they used to be, how it used to be, how it was always better in the past. It's not as good now. It's not as this. It's always that. And they very seldom have dreams of the future. They ever seldom have dreams of things being better. And when we focus on the past, It distracts us from accomplishing God's will for your life. Every person in this room today, God has a plan for your life. God has things that He wants to accomplish through your life. God has things that He wants to bless you in your life. God has ways that He wants to strengthen you. God wants to reveal Himself further to you so that you can be of more usefulness to Him, so that He can love you more and express, and so that you can see how much He loves you. God has a plan and a work for your life, but if we live our life focused solely on the past, then it distracts us from what God has given us to do today. Think about this. Let's go back to our illustration for a moment about the rearview mirror. When you got in your car this morning and you drove to church, I hope you didn't do this, but what if you got in your car and all you did, you never looked out the windshield, all you did was look at the rearview mirror? Now you think about how fast you'd want to go if all you had was a rearview mirror. You wouldn't be going very fast and you wouldn't make it very far, would you? Well, you know what? When we live our lives focused on the past, that's the same way that it hinders our progress. Because all we're doing is looking here and we fail to see all that God has for us out in front. We fail to see all that God can do for our lives out in front. It distracts our soul. But let me give you a fourth reason. The past is problematic, number one, because it's a spiritual desert. Number two, because our sight is distorted. Number three, because our soul is distracted. But fourthly, because our strength is diminished. Fourthly, because our strength is diminished. When we live in the past and we look to the past, it drains us. It often only brings discouragement and depression. Even good things can depress you. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever thought back to the past? And it was a happy memory. It was a glorious memory. Man, maybe even as you thought about it, it made you smile, or maybe you chuckled a little bit and laughed at something that happened. But after that feeling of utopia, what always seems to replace it? Depression, discouragement, sadness. You see, the past is so problematic because even our good memories often leave us discouraged and frustrated in our own circumstances and what we're going through in our own life. And the result is that we forsake the strength and the joy that God has for us today by looking in the past. Let me illustrate it for you this way. Let's say this morning that in my life, that this is the present. Right here where this pulpit is, this is a timeline, and this is the present. And looking out at you, everyone in the pew, every person here represents a blessing that God has for my life. Every one of you represents something good, something wonderful that God wants to do for my life today. But every one of these chairs in our choir loft represents something from my past. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. But here I am in the present. You're the blessings that God has for me. The chairs in the choir loft are the things in my past. Let me show you what happens if all I do is look at my past. You know what I can't see? I can't see any of the blessings. I can't see any of them. They're there. They're as real as you and I are this morning. God has placed them there specifically for me. He's given them there. I have access to them. If I'll just look, I have opportunity to grasp them if I'll just do it. But if I'm solely focused on where I've been, then I fail to see all that God has for me today. That's why so many times we live a life of discouragement and frustration, and we forsake the very things that God has out in front of us. We say, man, I tell you, it's just, you just don't understand my life. You don't understand where I've been. You don't understand this, and there's just no this and there's no that. Yes, I understand we've all got battle scars. We've all got wounds. But here's the thing. God's mercies are new every morning. And every one of us this morning has things that we can be grateful for. No matter how low you are, no matter how bad it is, the sun came up this morning. It was a beautiful day in the Carolinas. The sky is blue. There's air for us to breathe. Most of us had something to eat this morning. We've got a church church family surrounding us. We have enough health to get up and come to God's house. We have a warm place that we can meet in. We have reasons for blessings. We have reason to be strengthened in joy. But when we look in the past and focus solely on what has been, it robs us of our spiritual strength. We'll never see all the blessings that God has for our life focusing on the past, because it diminishes our strength. Let me give you a fifth reason why our past is problematic. Fifthly, our past is problematic because it's simply debilitating. It's simply debilitating. The overall results, a summary, if you will, of everything that we've talked about, the effects that our past has on us, the fact that it's a spiritual desert, the fact that our sight's distorted, our soul's distracted, our strength is diminished, leaves us in a place to draw the only conclusion that we focus our life living on the past. It simply debilitates us. But to put it in common vernacular, it just paralyzes us. And there are people possibly here this morning, and you are paralyzed by your past. Something that has happened, something that somebody did to you, something that somebody didn't say, something that somebody did say, something that happened with a company, something that happened in a church, something that happened while you were serving in a church, but something in your past, if you're not careful, it will cause you to focus solely on that, and it will paralyze you to the extent that you cannot move forward. There's a girl living in the United States. Her name is Alexandra Wolf. She's 26 years old, and she's one of only 55 people in the United States that has been diagnosed with what is known as a highly superior autobiographical memory. Alexandra Wolf, even as just a young girl, when she goes into a room or when she wakes up, her mind works in such a way that she remembers everything, even down to the very last detail. Alexander Wolf could be walking down the street and pass a stranger, and things that you and I would never even think to realize, notice, or pay attention to. Her mind works in such a way that she cannot help it. She will remember the stranger's hair color. She'll remember the shirt and whether it was a plaid shirt. And it, not only if it was a plaid shirt, but she'll remember the colors in each plaid. She'll remember the color of his belt. She'll remember whether he was wearing jeans or khakis. And not only that, but if she could have seen it, she would have realized whether they were Dockers or whether they were Levi's. She'll remember their shoes and exactly what color. And if the shoestrings were different, she remembers every single detail. And it doesn't go away. It says that she could wake up, and every morning she struggles waking up because she remembers different things, and every date on the calendar, her mind is automatically flooded to something that happened every day that she's been alive on that date of the calendar. She can remember the very first thing that she saw when she woke up 7 months ago. Pick any day, and she'll tell you exactly the very first thing she saw. One of only 55 people diagnosed with this in the United States. And here's what she says. She says, it seems like you hold on to everything, and it seems like you're just stuck in the past at all times. She says, in my life, there are no fresh days and no clean slates. Alexander Wolf is paralyzed by her past because she cannot get it out of her mind. She's paralyzed by it because she has a condition. But you know, the reality is many of God's people and many people in this world today are exactly where Alexander Wolf is, not because they have a condition, but because they choose to be there. Because they choose to live every day focused on something that happened in their past. And just like for Alexander Wolf, there are no fresh days, there are no clean slates. Every day they're stuck in the past. And just like her, they're paralyzed by their past. And their past is poisoning their present. It's so important that you and I forget, because the past is problematic. We don't only see that the past is problematic, but the second and final thing, and I'm going to be extremely brief with this, the second thing I want you to see today is this. Why is it so important for us to forget? Because it's the path to progress. It's the path to progress. Look what Paul says here. Paul says, brethren, In verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And the very first thing he mentions is forgetting. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Why is it so important that you and I forget? It's because it's the first step in the path to progress. It's not by coincidence that it's the very first thing Paul mentions. It's given because God gave it in order of significance. Paul says, this one thing I do. He says, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward for those things which are before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. He says, if I don't forget, then I can't reach. And if I'm not reaching, then I can't press. If I ever want to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, first I've got to reach. But before I can reach out to those things which God has before me, before I can do that, I've got to forget. And so this morning, why is it so important that we forget? Because our past is problematic, but because it's the path to progress. And as individuals, some of you right now have some things, just as a person, that they plague your past. And you battle with it and you struggle with it every day. And when you're in a low point or you're by yourself, you think about it and you go back and you just play it over and over and over again. And well, could I have done something different? Was it my fault? Or I could have this or I could have that. It's time to forget it. As a church congregation, if we're not careful as things happen, as we begin to move forward, if we're not careful, we come to times of the season, we think back to what has been or what was done or what was not done, and we think back and think, I don't know about this, I don't know. And it binds us, no. It's a time to forget. Why? Because God has a plan for your life, and God has a plan for this church. And we're never going to accomplish what God has. You can never accomplish it. We can never accomplish it. Driving down the spiritual road, looking in the rearview mirror, we've got to take our eyes off of that mirror, rip it off of the windshield, and look solely out in front of us and say, God, here we are. You've brought us to this place. Yes, we'll learn from our past, but God, we believe that you have something greater for us. Lead us down the road to something wonderful and glorious that we never imagined could ever happen in our life and in our church. But to do that, we've got to forget. You say, Pastor, how do we forget? Well, I want to invite you to come back and be with us next Sunday. And I want to talk to you about exactly how we can forget and how we can further identify things in our life that we need to forget. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning.